Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
The Burt Show has come together and really helped me out a lot the last month. First, it was the whole situation with Stacey and Mike, you know, her new friend, and how I was uncomfortable about that. I got a ton of emails of advice from you guys, and I took them, and we ended up straightening out that situation. And
you're the only person ever to take advice from the show.
It's been really good advice, too. I mean, it was very similar to the advice that you guys gave in here also, man. And then when Carl came on a couple of days ago, man, I mean, I knew I had to go talk to Stacey. I knew it. Because this has been not eating at me. It's just that I've always been uneasy with the fact that Hayden has been told, and I've sort of placated my wife on this, that if anything happens to him on the playground or if any kid gets physical with him in any way, shape, or form, what he needs to do is go right to the teacher or go right to the principal and take care of it that way. I can see Melissa Carter's disappointment already.
Sorry, I'm reserving my comments.
No, a lot of this conversation is going to be what we rehashed from last week also. Right. And I've never been comfortable with that for a couple of different reasons. Because I do think at the end of the day, you can get pushed too far. And if others know that you're not going to do anything about it, that's where the bullying continues and continues and continues. And I also told you guys last week, there's another element to this whole thing also, is that my kid is undersized. He's got a dad that's 5'4"-ish. He's got a mom that's 5'1"-ish. And he is a small, small kid. And I'm only reminded about that when I see him around other kids his size. You know, when in our house,
his
age. In our house, everybody's small. All fits perfectly, right? But then when I see him around other 7-year-olds, he is so drastically undersized that it's dramatic. It's really dramatic. And in a guy's world, it's different. To be short in a guy's world is different than it is in a woman's world. And whatever you want to call it, it's sort of a mentality of the strongest will survive. I mean, I had to go through it, and I'm seeing my son start to go through it now, where the bigger kids just look for the weakest link. And they start picking on that kid, and that's when bullying starts. And while he's not getting bullied yet on a playground, I'm just now starting to see how he placates to other kids, always gives in, gives his stuff away. Kids are sort of shoving him around on the playground and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Now is the time we got to do something about this. So Stacey and I had a conversation about it the other day. And I'm like, you know, I'm really, really, really nervous about Hayden going into the second grade here. Because this is about the time where cliques start to form and bullying really begins. And I'm really, really nervous that Hayden's not into athletics, so that doesn't equalize him in the guy's world at all. And he's a personable kid, but I'm just nervous about him. I'm nervous that he's going to get picked on. So I had a talk with Stacey about it, and I said, this whole going to the principal or going to the teacher first thing, I think we've got to start something new. Like, you go to the teacher the first time, you tell the kid to stop. If he doesn't stop, go ahead, go to the teacher the first time. But the second time, you got to do something about it yourself. And she must have been thinking about it also. I think my brother-in-law might have said something to her about it also.
Oh, really?
Nice.
He and I, the last time we went out together, I was talking to him about it. And I think he might have attacked her from one end also. So by the time I got to her, I think the wall was down.
So what did he say? Do you know?
I haven't asked him yet, but he and I are pretty brutal with each other. So if he used the words with me that he did with Stacey, I'm sure it was met by a wall at first, but then she heard what he said.
And just a random thought, too, because you've talked on the show before about how Stacey's dad is like
like ultimate dude where it's, you know, he doesn't even like use painkillers in the dentist and stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm shocked that he hasn't said something to her.
Never said a word about it, really. So I said to her, let's talk this out and let's rethink this here, because now we are coming to a crossroads, I think, with our kid. And she was totally open to it. She's like, you know what? You're right. And some of these things I try to take control of. And you're a guy. You've been a guy your whole life. You know what he's going to be going through. So you tell me what we should do. And I'm like, okay, let's do this.
Wow. She opened the
door. So I basically told her the same thing I just told you guys. And she's like, let's do it. I'm totally on board. And I told her that I'm very passionate about him getting into karate as soon as he gets back from his summer vacation. Because we were starting to waffle a little bit because he wants to do the theater thing again. And it looks like there's going to be some conflicting schedules going on. And I said to her, this is way more important right now. I mean, if we have to choose one or the other, let's go with karate right now. Let's get him some confidence. Let's let him know how he can start defending himself. And then we can start talking about the theater stuff.
He can be in a play called Can of Whoop-Ass.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because the play thing, see, eventually, I think also what helps, I mean, and tell me if I'm wrong, but if a guy is popular with the ladies later on, then that helps later on. And if I'm just saying that I know a lot of guys, you know, like make fun of the theater thing, but if you're a straight guy in the theater, then you got a lot of play. A lot of play.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the
just
truth
saying,
is, though,
I'm a former theater major, and I'm just saying that. So in the future, that's not a bad thing to be a part of. But I see what you're saying. Right now, he's got to be able to physically defend himself.
And the truth of the matter is, I mean, the short factor plays a role in the dating life also, because I mean, I hate to say this, but as a short guy, you are the lowest on the dating food chain. So I don't know that is going to be a great equalizer for him either.
Basically what I'm saying is he's going to be one
of the only
straight guys in the, you know, because there's plenty of straight girls in theater. And I'm a former theater major, so nobody attacked me. But I'm just saying that I was a minority as a lesbian, and there's a bunch of straight women, and then there's a bunch of gay guys, and maybe one or two straight guys. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just saying that the women outnumber the men. So I don't even think the short thing is going to be a factor.
It really led us into a much broader conversation also, because then I could talk to her about just the way that I see how the women in his life are totally coddling him, you know? Totally coddling
him. Hayden is so small, so it's easy to pick him up. And I noticed that too, like when he'll, you know, randomly every once in a while he comes in studio or whatever, he's easy to like jump up on your lap or pick him up or whatever. Like he's still so small because he's light.
Put him in your pocket, walk around with him.
Toss him around.
What I'm saying though is that, you know, like when women are around small children, what do? We go to reach for them and we grab them and we hold them. And so that happens to him a lot more often. And I have other friends with children who are 7 years old. I would never think to pick them up. They're too big to pick up. You know what I mean?
You know
he's
what the other part of this is?
Yes. A little bit more than other kids would be because he's smaller and he's easier to pick up.
I know this is going to sound funny to you guys, but it's not funny to watch. But when he was in this last play, there are 7 year olds that pick him up. There are 8 year olds that pick him up because he's so small. Same age kids. Mm-hmm. And we had to say to him, What are you doing, dude? what are you doing? Mm-hmm. He was sitting on the laps of other 7 and 8 year olds. And I'm like, this is not how this works, man. Mm-hmm. So it also started another conversation with Stacy, and that I think Stacy's going to have with her mom also, is that the kid has just got to start taking care of himself. It's a little bit.
Toughen up a little bit.
It's 7 years old. It's time to let him fall down, to get cut. He doesn't need a Band-Aid if there's not blood. If he's afraid of something, he's got to do it anyway. So it was a long conversation, but I think we're on the same page now.
Now you
cool.
think?
Good.
See, grandmas, I feel like, are allowed to do that. Like, grandparents, I think, are allowed to spoil the grandkids.
But it depends on how often the grandparents are around them. If the grandparents are raising them,
raising them is different.
And she's around him a lot. Hey, Darwin, good morning. You're on the Bert Show.
Hey, Bert, thank you. First of all, I agree with you, Bert, as far as getting him into some sort of martial art. But it wouldn't be karate. And I don't want to start a war with karate against others, but if your son is undersized, especially, karate is really built on the basis of strength against strength and attacking. Jiu-jitsu is built on weaker being attacked by stronger and being able to defend themselves.
You put him in karate, but then they partner him off with four-year-olds, and it's completely the opposite of what
That's
you wanted
great,
to do.
That is a great point,
That is a great point,
Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is really based on just being able to defend yourself long enough that hopefully someone breaks up the fight, but you don't take any type of hits or, you know, and really, if you ever watch true jiu-jitsu, you can watch a guy on the bottom win a fight.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smaller guy. So I would definitely recommend that. You know, I've got a 7-year-old, and we've been training at Tiger Academy for a while. He loves it. I would definitely recommend going that route. Just a side note, Bert, I actually ran into you at the airport in Gainesville. You were coming off a plane, and I spoke to you, and I know I shocked you because you're probably just like, who is this guy, and how does he know me?
Was it
about a year ago.
Was it coming home from the Georgia-Florida game, or was it going to the Georgia-Florida game?
You were going to Gainesville. You came off the plane in Gainesville, and I was actually getting on coming back to Atlanta.
Then I should remember it, but I don't.
You were sober.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So anyway, that's just my one piece of advice for you. Definitely get into something, but I would look to the route of, you know, I would strongly suggest looking at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that's great advice, and I want to teach him that you're not the first one that throws that first punch. But if somebody comes after you, man, and they come at you in packs now, it's not like one kid on one kid.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's like they come at you in packs. And you know what? It only takes hitting the bully one time for the rest of the crowd to leave you alone.
It's a pack, but there's a leader in that pack. And more than likely, because they're a bully, they're not trained in anything. So all it would take is one time for him to be able to
fight
back. And the rest of the school would leave him alone.
Right. So I want to thank you guys for your emails again. I want to thank Carl for bringing up the conversation and the conversation that we had in here the other day also, because you guys really helped me out. So thanks.
The Bert Show.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Don't. Please don't tail this guy. I know it's easier. He sounds sure. But listen, you don't want to chase another guy's picks, man. You should see the way he dresses. It's all a monthly subscription where he gets his clothes chosen for him. That's the guy you want to make the pick after? No, the pick should be yours. Do something you actually believe in, and if you're on Underdog and you lock in, you can let him chase your tail. Now you're a dog. Underdog. Make your pick. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
The Bert Show.
All right, let's finish off this list here that we started a couple of days ago. The top 10 fashion mistakes that dudes make.
Okay.
All right? Dudes, listen up. Okay? And we established this yesterday also that women have told us that they may be dressing you in this just to make you look crappy when you go out so other women aren't looking at you. All right, so we went through clothing that's too big. That was 10 on the list. Women hate that. Baseball hats, we went through that. Bling, wife beaters. Skinny jeans are guys who wear women's jeans. That was number 6 on the list. 5 was fanny packs. 4 was Speedos. Those were all simple. Saggy jeans was number 3. Number 2 on the list, this is so stereotypical, socks with sandals.
Does anybody do that besides
socks?
Jeff Dollar?
I do see that from time to time. And it seems like it's almost like what's old is new again. Like I'm seeing like a lot of teenagers doing it.
Really?
Yeah, like almost as a fashion statement.
Black socks or athletic socks?
Black socks.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
With what kind of sandals?
I mean, I couldn't tell you the name brand of sandals.
Like Jesus sandals?
Like that. Yeah, like the, yeah.
Like Birkenstock kind of things?
I think so. I don't know. I haven't really registered like that, but I've seen it.
What about leggings with flip-flops?
I think you're pulling it off today.
Okay.
All right, so socks with sandals. 19% of women thinks it's the worst fashion mistake. And the number one fashion mistake that dudes are making, Ed Hardy shirts.
I would have to say
are the worst.
Yes.
Isn't that a staple of yours, Bert?
I don't have any Ed Hardy shirts.
Really?
Oh, no. Remember, Stacey wanted to put the whole family in Ed Hardy for the Christmas photo? And I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Okay, good.
You must be out of your mind. 21% of women said that Ed Hardy shirts are the worst thing that a guy can wear.
I think it's also the worst thing a girl can wear. I got to say, I think it goes across both genders.
You think?
Yeah. I heard somebody say recently that they were at a bar with a bunch of cougars wearing Ed Hardy and that it just wasn't the cool place to be. So I think it goes both ways.
It's a symbol of bushiness.
Or women, yeah.
The Bert Show.
Jen shocked me in our post-show meeting yesterday.
I have
to understand something about Jen. Jen loves where she lives in the part of town she lives in here in Atlanta.
That's funny. I do.
I was knocked over yesterday. Knocked over yesterday in our post-show meeting.
Because she doesn't just love it, but she's a neighborhood snob.
I'm not a cool neighborhood snob.
Yes, you are.
There's not an elitism to where she lives, but there's a very unique part of Atlanta that she lives in. And the people in this neighborhood take a lot of pride in it.
Yeah, well, I live in a in-town neighborhood, you know, near downtown, whatever, and it's eclectic, and I really like it. I can walk out my back door and walk to my yoga class. I can walk to my, like, two favorite restaurants and watering holes, and I can even, you know, walk to a couple of my friends' houses and that kind of thing, and that's what I really like about in-town neighborhoods is that I feel like they're more walkable in Atlanta than they are than in the burbs, because I feel like in the suburbs, typically you got to get in your car to go like just about anywhere. And Atlanta's not a great city for public transportation either. Mm-hmm. The infrastructure of the city has not made it convenient to take trains anywhere and that kind of thing. You know, my brother lives in New York City. He doesn't own a car. He doesn't have to. He takes trains everywhere or walks everywhere. And I just really like that concept. And to me, it makes it feel more of like a community when you live in a neighborhood where people are out walking around a lot more. So that's really my favorite thing about it. I feel like it's eclectic and unique. There's unique restaurants and shops and things there. And they're not all generic, you know, because sometimes I feel like in any suburban area, anywhere in the country, it doesn't matter if you plop yourself in the middle of Arizona or Kentucky or Tennessee or Georgia. If you're in a suburb, you can see basically all the same things. It's like a Home Depot, a Target, a Walmart, you know, an Office Depot, a PetSmart.
She's trying to be all
that
sweet,
kind of thing,
but
right?
You do have edge.
I don't love the generic part of the burbs.
Do you feel smarter being where you are as opposed to suburban?
Not smarter. It's what I prefer to be around. It's what I like.
I don't think it's a question of smarter. It's just
it's
understand
smarter,
where you're coming
from. It's not
smarter,
and it's not a condescending thing at all. I just like the in-town feel. You know, I like going to a new restaurant that's open that people don't know about yet, or like I like going and getting to know the chef of a place and making it like my regular place that I like to go.
You can do that at Applebee's.
As long as you know what a shift is. I just like that. I think that there's like some really unique like culture about that.
But that may be all going away.
it is gonna go away for a short time because my fiance lives in the burbs.
You didn't say short time yesterday.
Yeah, it's gonna be for a short time.
You think you're gonna move out and then you're gonna move back in?
Bert, make a note right now, 9:48.
Okay.
Here, get a pen and have.
No, we've talked about this extensively.
And have Josh save this audio somewhere where you can look at it.
Because it's like a before and after picture.
Y'all are like my siblings. I want to go in my own room and shut my door right now. but yeah, my fiance does live in the burbs. Not really super far out of the city, but definitely much further out than I do. And but he owns his home, and I don't own my space. That I live in a loft and I rent it. And so when we get married, we're going to live in his house for a short time until we can afford to buy something else. But with the economy the way it is and the recession and the housing market, whatever, it would just be a stupid, stupid financial decision to sell his house at this time.
What is your biggest fear of living in the suburbs?
That I'm going to be driving 30 minutes to see my friends every night of the weekend. No, I'm just kidding. It's not a fear of living in the burbs. It's not that actually at all. Like if we were buying a house together when we get married, I wouldn't be opposed to the Burbs. I was talking to producer Tracy about Marietta and Marietta Square and like how that's got that whole thing. Like, and even places in Roswell have like that mm-hmm. like community feel where you can walk out of your house, walk a few blocks down the street, and you can be at local restaurants, independently owned, cool things, whatever, and it has that same kind of community feel. So to me, like if we were buying a house together, it would probably be most affordable to buy it in the Burbs, but to buy it somewhere that had that same local neighborhood community feel. So my biggest issue is really that I'm moving into his house, and it's not our house together. It's his house that he's lived in, you know, as a single guy for a while.
Would you feel the same way if he was downtown moving into his house? If it was economically more responsible to move into his house somewhere downtown, would you feel the same way as you do moving into the Burbs?
I do.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a relationship space. Like, I want us to start our life together and have our home together that we pick out together and we decorate together and everything else. Like, now I'll be moving into his home that's like decorate. It's like a dude house. Mm-hmm. Everything is beige.
A lot of black lacquer.
Everything is beige. There is nothing on the walls.
No pictures.
Like it's a dude house.
Yeah. Pornography, you know what I mean? Scattered all over the place.
What is wrong with you?
No, not that at all. But it's just, you know, it's moving to his house. So I'm going to feel like for at least the first while that we live in his house. So I've already asked if I can like paint and rearrange everything and move in my furniture and try to make it feel like us, because it's just a really, really stupid financial decision to try to put his house on the market. What's it would always be a completely emotional decision to make.
What's always been my analogy about this? What's that board game where you try to take over the other person's
part of risk?
This is what is happening to you right now. Risk is a board game where you both start with equal amount of countries, right? And your job and your opponent's job is to take over the world,
it's
right?
Global domination.
What is going on in the house right now is basically a game of risk. Like, you are moving in, and right now all you have is one itty-bitty little country, right? Let's say.
Oh, and by the way, I'm not moving in until we get married.
Okay. So let's just say you have Spain, right, which is your master bedroom. Eventually, your influence will take over the halls and the bathroom and the kitchen and downstairs until he's forced out of his house into his own little guy spot in the basement somewhere.
But I get what she's saying, though, about shared space. Like, because Katie and I, when we had discussions when we were moving in together, even with furniture, like some of the furniture had to be brand new, you know.
Yeah. Well, definitely going to happen.
The bed had to be brand new. Like, how long have you had this bed? How long have I had my bed? Yeah, we're getting a new bed.
Are you going to ask for a new bed in the master?
Oh, we already have discussed that before. Yeah, we have gone into that discussion. He's like, well, I haven't asked you what went on your bed before I was ever in there either. You know, so he's fighting.
Well,
he
could probably just see the wear and tear.
Oh, my
God. I flip it over, you know.
Gotcha.
So you think it's more a question of it just being your own space together rather than you just being fearful that you're turning into like a suburban person?
No, I honestly don't mind the suburban thing as long as it's got like its own unique neighborhood feel. I want to feel like I live in a community. I want to feel like I live in a neighborhood. I don't want to feel like I live next to a Home Depot and a Walmart and a Target that could be anywhere generic America.
I do think there's a misconception about Atlanta, about how all the small towns around Atlanta, they all have historic areas. And they're all outside of the perimeter. They all have downtown areas that are exactly what you're talking about.
For our Nashville audience, the perimeter runs around Atlanta and it sort of separates the downtown area from the suburban area. And, I mean, there are some people here that live outside the perimeter that have never gone inside and vice versa.
Nashville understands that. They have a perimeter, and they've got outside and inside, too. So
really?
It's the same similar
thing.
I would like to take you to a Longhorn for a little meet and greet with the neighborhood. And on Tuesday nights, if you get there before 6, they do a little half-off special, and we get a bunch of appetizers.
That bloomin' onion.
Yep, and everybody has two beers, and it gets pretty crazy. But if you can stay up until 8, I would love to have you.
Hey, The Burt Show.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Don't. Please don't tail this guy. I know it's easier. He sounds sure. But listen, you don't want to chase another guy's picks, man. You should see the way he dresses. It's all a monthly subscription where he gets his clothes chosen for him. That's the guy you want to make the pick after? No. The pick should be yours. Do something you actually believe in, and if you're on Underdog and you lock in, you can let him chase your tail. Now you're a dog. Underdog. Make your pick. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bird Show.
Wendy here's in a tough spot, man. I don't know how to get out of this one except to just run. Flee. Flee, girl, flee.
Oh, well, I can't really flee because these are some of my best girlfriends. I have a really close circle of girlfriends, and we were out a couple of weeks ago, and me and one of my girlfriends are pretty tight because we hang out every day, or we at least try to catch up every day on the phone and have phone conversations. Well, we have a mutual friend who we haven't seen in a while who's been kind of MIA doing her own thing, but we were all really in this tight-knit circle, the three of us. So we are really, really close girlfriends. Well, we all met up a couple of weeks ago and just to catch up with each other and see how we're doing. And my best friend pulled me aside and she was like, have you noticed anything different with our mutual friend? And I'm like, well, no. She was like, she's put on some weight. And I'm like, what do you mean she's put on some weight? She's like,
did you honestly not notice, or were you being nice?
I was being a little generous.
Okay.
I was being a little generous in the conversation because, I mean, I'm not one to comment on anybody's weight. I don't like my weight commented on. But she was like, yeah, her fingers are puffy.
Oh my God, she went puffy fingers on her.
Oh, she just went off on like how, like, because
she was brutal about it.
She was pretty brutally honest on how much weight that she thought my friend had gained.
And everything that you could point to when somebody gains weight, puffy fingers, I would think, would be last on the list.
Oh, she mentioned it all. Mm. Like, she mentioned how unflattering her outfit was, like how much bigger her arms had gotten, her face had gotten. And
was she being catty about it, or was she being concerned about it?
Like, she was being somewhat concerned because, I mean, our friend's always been pretty thin and weight conscious. And
how much weight do you think she's gained?
4 pounds.
Probably not very much, but I mean, she looked healthy to me. She didn't look overweight to me. She didn't look fat to me, but
it was a noticeable difference.
It was a little bit of a difference than when we had seen her last time, but it's been a couple of months since we've really all hung out together.
What you want to call it? 15 pounds?
I don't want to say.
Number doesn't matter. The fact is that
it was enough to be noticeable. Is, well, really,
the question that Wendy got asked is what, well, the issue is, because,
well, my close friend, the one that didn't gain the weight, asked me, she goes, if it were you, I would just tell you. Like, I would say, Wendy, what happened? And then she was like, I don't know.
Why, though? Because she knows.
Yeah, she knows she gained weight.
Maybe it's not like she's unaware that her clothes are tighter. Yeah. Or when she looks in the mirror, she feels heavier. Yeah. I mean, your friend who gained weight knows she gained weight.
And what are you supposed to say?
Nothing. Well, I say nothing.
What did your friend want you to say?
Well, no, she asked me how to tell her. Like, it was like, do I just come out and... I'm like, you don't really say anything, but she's legitimately concerned.
Because she thinks she doesn't know that she's gained weight?
I don't know. But she was like, I would sit you down and tell you that you gained weight if it were you.
But wouldn't you already know? If you had gained enough weight for your best friend to notice, wouldn't you be like, duh, yeah, I know, I've been having a hard time, or, yeah, I've been, you know... Whatever it is.
Because more than likely, I mean, the worst case scenario is that she's going through something. So it'd be more like, how's life? What's going on? But never bring up the weight. That's just, I just think it's so rude.
So best friends, best girlfriends even can never say anything about their weight to each other.
Well, I think that you would bring it up with your friend. Like if I had, if I had just recently gained weight, I would come to Melissa and be like, dude, I have put on 10 or 15 pounds. Like, I don't know what to do about it. And then you can talk about it.
And then best friend's like, say, well, not really. I don't see what, I think that.
I did notice your fingers.
Weight's a horrible thing for a woman to
it
talk
is,
about.
It is. But then Melissa could say, well, I've been working out. Do you want to come and join me or whatever else? Then you can talk about it. But I don't think it's something that the woman has to bring up on her own.
And if she's gained, if she's gained 50 pounds, maybe that there's an issue. But I'm assuming that your friend probably gained 5 or 10 instead of like 50.
20?
Probably about 20.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's not my business to tell her. I think she still looks great.
How long has it been since you've seen her?
It's been probably about 4 months since really hung out together.
That's a fun 4 months right there. If you put on 20 pounds.
you don't know what's going on in her life.
That's well done. That's a lot of pasta. That's good.
I want to get into the head of your friend that didn't lose the weight, though. Like, so what would be the motivation? Because she knows the same thing you guys know right now. She knows that if you put 20 pounds
on. Maybe not, though. If she's been skinny her whole life and never struggled with weight, I don't think she can quite empathize with somebody who's maybe gained weight and lost it again or whatever. If your friend's always been super skinny, she's just doing it to be critical.
But haven't you guys told us before that weight is always on a woman's mind?
Yeah, this friend who's gained the weight knows that she's gained the weight and she's self-conscious about it. And the worst thing you can do is just randomly say, hey, you put on some weight. That would be devastating and you wouldn't be friends anymore. I if somebody came up to me and said that, I mean, I'm fully aware. And then if they said it to me, I agree with Jen. When Jen just said that she's doing it to be critical, I wouldn't trust why you're doing it, and I wouldn't be friends with you anymore.
877-588-BERT, 877-588-2378. Good morning, Nathan. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning. How you doing today?
What's happening, man?
Not much. Hey, look, best friends and all, family and all that, it's shallow. Don't worry about it. You don't have to say anything. If you're friends, you're friends.
Yeah, it just
Don't
seems like an.
About it
it certainly seems
not
like
even
a really
not
odd
even topic.
It's just awkward. Agreed. It's just awkward because when we were hanging out, it was like she was almost embarrassed to be seen with my other friend, and we've been so close. Like we've been super close, tight knit group, and now I don't know what to do because I'm in the middle of this weight thing, and
you should take yourself right out of it. There is no need for you to be in the middle of anything at all at this point.
And you're not as close as you think. I mean, I agree with the last caller. He just said that's shallow. When you're if your friends, you're friends. It doesn't matter if your friend gets fat, thin, whatever. You're friends, and I just think that's I don't think you're as close as, or they're as close as you think.
You have zero responsibility to get in on this.
Right, or your skinny friend values friendship in a different way. Like, she values friends that are going to make her look better, or that she can go out with and look pretty with and attract guys with and all that kind of stuff, which means she's not really being a real friend to you either.
I guess not, because maybe she would sit me down.
Yeah, maybe she likes you right now because she feels like you're thin and pretty and popular and people know your name and you're on the radio and let's all hang out because you can bring me some popularity. But I don't want to hang out. You know, if she's saying this about the girl who's gained weight, she's like, I don't want to hang out with her anymore. Mm-hmm. Then she's friends with people for all the wrong reasons.
Hey, Ray, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hi. I just wanted to say that me and my best friend are like, we can say anything to each other. And I feel like if Wendy's super close with her, then she should be able to say, she should be able to tell her. But if it's not like they're super close, then I don't know if I would.
And I think that if you're best friends and you're super close, then you're able to gain weight and still be friends. I think you should have the freedom to be able to have, your weight change and it not be an issue.
I don't think so. I think there should be a scale in your apartment.
Not in the apartment, outside the door.
Yeah, because you can't let them inside.
With a display. With a display, like, inside the apartment. So when somebody rings your doorbell, you just go through the intercom. Please step on the scale.
Yeah. Or you ever seen a weigh-in for a big boxing match? That's what you need to have every time she comes on.
Or when they come in, tell her, well, don't go to the kitchen, whatever you do. And then that'll make her feel really comfortable.
Celery sticks.
Yeah.
Just have like rope around the kitchen.
I prepared some vegetables for you. Can you bring me the Doritos while you're bringing those back?
Sandy, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't think she ought to tell her anything because, trust me, she knows it already. I've had a friend that has told me that, and we really don't speak. I mean, it was the most opportune time. I was at my mother-in-law's funeral, and she walked up and said, I'm joining Weight Watchers. Would you like to join with me? I've seen your habits struggling with weight. And I just, we don't get along anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was very hurtful.
I think I would have punched her at a funeral. Then you come up and tell me to join Weight Watchers.
Just a quick chop to the throat.
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, nobody has to see.
This is like a great example that I've said this before too. That I feel like sometimes, as a general statement, women just create drama. Like, there's really no reason to have this kind of drama at all. There's no reason at all for your friend to put you in this situation. There's no reason for your friend to bring up the weight gain to her other girlfriend. This is just, like, unnecessary drama where dudes run away from drama at all costs as fast as we can. Women somehow figure out a way to stir it up, man, and get in the middle of it.
Well, it seems really catty of your skinny friend to do that. And what guys would do is just make fun of each other to their faces.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, hey, fatty, why don't you go get another burger?
Let me try that one. Guys don't care about their weight, right, so that wouldn't affect them.
Exactly.
It's the beauty of being a guy.
Get it? The Bird Show.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Oh my gosh, you can't be serious. You think making the pick is the hard part? No, it's not. The pick takes like 3 seconds. You know what's hard? The sweat. The time between locking in and cashing out. Yeah, you have a take, but in the end, it's not about the winners or losers. This is about us, man. Whether we're brave enough to sit through it. Don't fight the sweat. Live in it. Because you are an underdog. Underdog. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're on The Bert Show.
I wanted to share this with you guys. The Bert Show, I believe, got a mention last night on VH1. We thought this might happen, right?
Oh, yeah. This is the Usher Behind the Music.
Behind the Music on VH1 last night. I didn't get to see it yet, but we'll have this clip online on TheBertShow.com.
Then on February 17th, 2004, Chili made their breakup public when she called into an Atlanta radio show.
Hey, Chili.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm calling in, hey, what's up? It's Chili, and watch me on something, something, something.
I want to read you the latest rumor about you and Usher.
And they hit me with the Usher single now. And I'm like, damn, I didn't know we were, like, telling everybody yet. So I was just trying to keep it cool, and then I just lost it.
Let me set the record straight. Usher did the ultimate no-no to me, and I will never be with him ever again.
I felt like, okay, well, you know the truth, and I know the truth. Let's not really talk about what happened.
Someone cheats one time. You don't wait around to see if they're going to do it again. So there is no Usher and Chili, and it will never be Usher and Chili again.
Mm-hmm. And that back in the day started a firestorm of publicity for us, really. I mean, it went into the story's not about us, but it was in Rolling Stone and it was in every tabloid. And Usher was none too happy about that. Wasn't real happy about the interview. And it started the beginning of a very rocky relationship with this show and Usher. He and I got into it on the radio live one morning, really going at it.
He said it was your fault.
Right.
That he said all of it was your fault.
And I said back to him, you know, that he needed to accept responsibility for what happened in the relationship. And it was just it was an awful couple of minutes. And I could almost feel the tension of that morning, you know?
It was still awkward.
But that was on VH1 last night?
Yeah. Behind the Music, right?
Behind the Music.
Very cool.
So,
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, they'll air that 100 more times.
Right. Probably won't miss it.
Listen, it's The Bert Show.
Don't. Please don't tail this guy. I know it's easier. He sounds sure. But listen, you don't want to chase another guy's picks, man. You should see the way he dresses. It's all a monthly subscription where he gets his clothes chosen for him. That's the guy you want to make the pick after? No. The pick should be yours. Do something you actually believe in, and if you're on Underdog and you lock in, you can let him chase your tail. Now you're a dog. Underdog. Make your pick. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.